Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Fly Brother Radio Show on the Industry Entertainment Network. I'm Ernest White II, storyteller and explorer and creator of the multicultural travel website flybrother.net. As part of my storytelling, I've had my travel writing published in places like Time Out Magazine, USA Today, Getaway Magazine, Panorama, Travel and Escape, Ebony, and at TravelChannel.com. I've lived in 5 countries and traveled to over 50, and I'm not saying all that to say that I'm all that. I just want to give you a little motivation, some inspiration, a few tricks and tips to go off and live an amazing fly life for yourself. Today on the Fly Brother Radio Show, I talk with Dr. Yvette McQueen, emergency medicine physician, currently working as a traveling physician across the United States. She teaches healthcare providers and speaks to the general public about various health topics, and she's an active organizer and participant in international medical missions to many countries around the world. Dr. McQueen has mixed her passions of medicine and travel to educate the public about how to stay healthy while on air, land, or sea. Today we talk all about tropical diseases, vaccinations, medications overseas, staying safe on the road, health tips including the importance of hydration and wearing sunscreen, Malawi, Egypt, Paris, and a whole lot more. But before that, every week here on the Industry Entertainment Network, we highlight a community partner, either a small business, charity, or community service organization. This week, we're highlighting the Donovan Darius Foundation. Since 2011, the Donovan Darius Foundation has provided programs and services to North Florida youth and their families in the areas of life skills, prevention, and youth development. The Donovan Darius Foundation was founded by retired Jacksonville Jaguars safety and community leader Donovan Darius. The foundation hosts life camps for youth and their families at Everbank Field with the emphasis on connecting them to service organizations in their local communities. The foundation specifically targets families with low to moderate incomes who have limited access to the programs and services that are provided. Its mission is to educate, equip, and empower youth and their families with life skills to maximize their potential. For more information, go to DonovanDariusFoundation.com. That's DonovanDarius Foundation.com. And let them know that the Industry Entertainment Network sent you. We'll be right back with traveler and medicine woman Dr. Yvette McQueen on the Fly Brother Radio Show right after this.
Sometimes we're insecure, we're fragile. Sometimes we laugh at each other to make ourselves feel better. Sometimes we lie, sometimes we say things that we really don't mean, but in the moment seem like the thing to do. We're all flawed, beautiful people. Creatures, we're all flawed, beautiful people. We're all flawed, beautiful creatures. Is it a crime if a man kills to protect his own from harm's way? Who are we to judge anyway? What would you have done if the gun was in your hand? Were in his shoes. Guess you never. never know what you won't do. Cause in the moment might seem like the thing to do.
In the wake of tragedy, a phoenix rises to restore hope needed by many to mobilize and effect the change they seek. In preparation for change in our communities, the Real Talk with Anita Spencer radio show reflects the expertise of author, entrepreneur, culture curator, and community educator Anita Spencer. Her life's experiences and purpose both lead her to awaken, empower, uplift, and strengthen families around the globe. Tune into her show weekly to have your spirit elevated, your mind broadened, and receive the inspiration to build yourself and others up. Listen to Engage in Real Talk to get real solutions to real issues that affect our communities. Wednesdays from 7 to 8 p.m. only on the NEN.
We won't land. We won't land, y'all. Come on.
Walk right up to the sun, hand in hand.
Hand in hand, every man.
Walk right up to the
every woman.
Sun. We won't land.
Welcome back to the Fly Brother Radio Show. I'm Ernest White II here with Dr. Yvette McQueen, travel doctor extraordinaire, among many other things. Thank you very much for joining us today, Dr. McQueen.
Hello, hello. It's a pleasure to be with you.
All right. So you are a traveling doctor, is that correct?
Yes. My name is Yvette McQueen, MD, and I'm an emergency physician and travel doc. It's my mission as a global physician to educate about health, travel wellness, and disease prevention.
Okay, okay. And I guess disease prevention is important to people while they're traveling, correct?
Exactly. Staying healthy so they can actually enjoy their experiences and adventures and come back home safely.
Okay, true. That's key, paramount. Safety as well.
Safety, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So how did you get into travel medicine? Is that what you would call it?
It's, well, like I said, I'm an emergency physician, and right now I work as an independent contractor traveling around the United States.
Okay.
And working at different hospitals as emergency physician. That has allowed me to travel also internationally greatly with experiences, conferences as a speaker. And I've just picked up some tips of travel and how to stay well, because I need to stay well to be a doctor.
Okay, that's true. And so where are some of the places that you've traveled recently?
Oh,
in a professional capacity, I guess.
Recently in a professional capacity, I've traveled to Malawi, East Africa, on a medical mission. I've traveled to Egypt with a travel group because I was the tour group staff physician, and I've done other conferences in Europe and the Caribbean.
Okay, okay. And so then how did the Malawi experience come about?
I currently, my church, which is Hopewell Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida.
Okay.
It actually has a missions established there for the last 17 years, and we go every year. But for the last 3 years, we added a medical component once we were donated some land by a chief.
Okay, so you were donated land by a chief to build like a clinic?
We actually built a school.
Okay.
The school teaches Bible studies and trade schools like sewing and welding. And in one of the buildings, we able to actually have a week-long clinic in combination with the local clinic in Doha, Malawi.
Okay. And so then, you know, Malawi is a country that I feel like many people may not know a lot about here in the U.S., even if they've heard the name. And Africa in general as a continent often gets a bad rep maybe when it comes to tropical diseases, especially in the media.
Okay. Well, people may have heard from about Malawi a few years ago because that's where Madonna adopted one of her children.
Okay, yes.
Yes.
The famous Madonna's Malawian child.
Yes.
Okay.
Malawi is actually in East Africa between Mozambique and Zimbabwe. Oh. And it... it is the second poorest country in the world.
Oh, wow.
Yes, it is. So we've had a mission established there, like I said, for the last 17 years through our pastor. And we've done Bible teaching and church building and helping with different famines. Our missionaries are local there. So we're dealing with the local people, helping themselves and teaching to help themselves.
Okay.
But we've also done some literacy program as far as teaching the village women to read.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Right, which they value greatly.
And I guess that assists in making sure that you've got a healthy population because they can read about taking care of themselves and their children.
Yes, they can read their medication list. And it's most of their diseases are brought on by malnutrition.
Okay. And you mentioned famine.
Well, there's been a few years because of rains or droughts. They had some famine, like in 2005, they had a huge famine. So we provided things like cornmeal and, you know, sustainable household. They have a diet that's low in protein.
Okay.
So it's mostly just cornmeal and some vegetables they can get.
Wow. Okay. Yep. So not a lot of the diseases that you see in societies that are much more affluent.
Well, we do see hypertension only because it's just genetic.
Okay.
So we do see hypertension. We don't see diabetes as much, but we do see hypertension. And just the other, you know, of course, malaria in East Africa is very prevalent. And children, they still have a low death rate of 5 years and under due to Malawi and pneumonia.
Oh, wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's the infant mortality rate is high then.
Yes.
Okay. And so then... have you done work with larger institutions like the UN or Doctors Without Borders, that kind of thing in Malawi, or are you guys operating independently of that?
We're independent. I would say independently. We don't get resources from those. Our resources are all donations through friends, families, church members. We have worked with organizations that are local there, like it's called SOS Children's Village. And I'm trying to remember what the acronym means. Other organizations I worked with from the United States, I've also worked in Burkina Faso, which is in West Africa, with a Christian group from Denver. They actually have an orphanage there.
Oh, wow, okay.
And they send a mission team there every year to do whether it's farming or building and teaching and also a medical clinic there. And we've supported the pastor's son who's now gone to school and become a physician and have a mobile clinic. So he actually has a mobile van that he takes around to the outlying villages and treat people.
So this isn't in the capital of Burkina Faso?
No, this is on the outskirts.
Okay.
Totally outskirts.
So then, you know, you've got, like I was saying earlier, these major scary kinds of diseases like Ebola and that kind of thing, you know, Zika with the mosquitoes and everything. How do you address people's questions and, I guess, queries when you say that you've been in Africa dealing with medicine and they bring those things up?
Well, it's all about taking care of yourself. Once you're back, taking care of yourself. In medicine, we have what we call precautions. Mm-hmm. And as long as you adhere to those precautions, you reduce your risk minimally. You can see where there were hundreds of people working with Ebola, particularly in Liberia, where it was the center of it. And 2 to 3 people became infected.
Okay.
And that's only probably with like 0.05% of the actual workers that worked with Ebola.
So that's a huge fact. The fact that less than 1% of people who were dealing with it on a daily basis.
Exactly.
Even caught it.
Exactly. As long as we use what we call universal precautions. And also we watch for signs and symptoms, like with Zika. Zika started in the Pacific Islands area and migrated over to South America, and now has migrated to the Caribbean and on its way up to the United States. Mm. It is a mosquito-borne illness or virus, but it's all about precautions. Once again, you know you're going to be in an area, particularly in a mosquito-borne area, you take precautions. Mm-hmm. And one of the precautions is use a mosquito repellent.
Right.
For adults, you can make sure the mosquito repellent is DEET and make sure it's 25% above.
Okay.
If it's children, you can't use DEET on children, but there's so many natural mosquito repellents you can use, and I'll even throw out here Skin So Soft. Mm. The Avon Skin So Soft is a
wonderful
mosquito repellent for children.
Okay.
Don't be out in dusk and dawn when mosquitoes are more prevalent, and also cover up. You know, I need to be out in the sun and shed everything, all your clothes. Where actually, if you're wearing long sleeve and long pants and it's cool cotton type material, you actually stay cooler and it covers you up.
Nice. All right, a few tips there already.
Already.
Well, I'm glad again that you mentioned that, because I've traveled in Africa and had people ask me questions about, you know, weren't you afraid? And I'm like, I was an 8-hour flight away from any zone that they had identified Ebola having, and it showed up in Texas, which I'm like, you know, you are telling me to be careful. You be careful.
Well, it showed up in Texas because that was someone that actually was in the primary zone. Mm-hmm. So when Ebola was around, was it 2 years ago?
I think so.
It was centered in basically 3 countries, and it was West Africa.
Right.
He was able to travel from there to, I think the connecting was France, and then to Texas.
Right, but I guess what I'm saying is that, I mean, no place is safe from anything, and you gotta go some kind of way anyway. And if it's your time, it's your time.
Right.
So certainly, no, you don't want to lay on the railroad track when the train is coming. But I'm not gonna not live. I'm not going to not visit Africa because of some disease when you could catch anything anywhere or a tree could fall on you.
Well, Africa is a continent. People
it sure
forget
is,
about that.
And it's a huge one. It's, you know, it's like I said, it's an 8-hour flight from like Dakar to Johannesburg.
Yes, yes.
That's huge.
That's huge, yes.
So, guys, please don't be afraid of what you see in the media. Certainly, that's something that, you know, most of us are aware of anyway, that it's about shock value and, you know, sensationalism.
Right.
But anyway, I'm just glad that you're here to give us some numbers on this stuff.
Oh, yeah. I enjoy my travels there. Definitely.
Excellent. And so you and I met in Egypt, actually.
Yes.
So while we're talking about traveling in Africa, we met in a place where there's all kinds of alligator, crocodiles, you know, mosquitoes, and all these other things.
And
we had a great
other
time.
Things. Yep. But actually, I mentioned it to someone yesterday, one of my patients, and they were saying, weren't you afraid while you were in Egypt? Isn't it you know, a lot of violence there. And I had to explain, no, once again, you know, I went to Egypt with a tour, but actually I ended up going there by myself for 2 days and then end up meeting with the group.
Okay.
But it's, and Cairo is a big city, and it's a big city, and it has its bad parts and its good part, like right. like New York City.
Certainly, like or Miami, right, or yes. Jacksonville, even.
So any big city. And then we went to southern Egypt. And where we were welcome, people don't realize in Egypt they really want American tourists. Mm-hmm. And they are really hurting for the economy because did they go through some political strife a few years ago?
Yeah.
Yes. What country has not?
Certainly.
And they're just trying to rebuild. But it is a very safe environment to visit, just
Agreed.
Like anywhere else.
Yes. And beautiful, friendly people. The pyramids are amazing, but also the temples along the Nile River. I mean,
Egypt is the birth of civilization.
Absolutely.
And that's what I looked at it, and I just loved it.
Yes.
And can't wait to get back.
Go to Egypt, guys.
Yes.
Cool. So then what are some of your other places that you enjoy going to that you've been, again, for professional purposes, and then maybe talk about some of the places you just like to go to on your own.
Professional reasons? Let's see. I go around the United States. I think the United States has some wonderful places to tour, and if you are not inclined to tour internationally, just visit your own country. I mean, there's 50 states.
Right.
And I can say I've done 36 of the states so
okay.
far. But there's some wonderful things. If you're going from, you know, Arizona, the Grand Canyon, I go to Missouri a lot. And I like going to places like the Truman Library. Or
oh, wow.
I was able to see where the Pony Express started.
That's interesting, anyway.
In Indiana, I was in Indiana, and I saw the... The Clapper Girl is for the baking soda, where baking soda started
okay.
many years ago in the 1800s, and they had the red and white box with the, I know, I'm dating myself, but there's a museum for that.
There may be some listeners who have never actually used baking soda in their entire lives, and they're adults.
Baking soda, baking powder, yeah, so It's interesting. This country has some very interesting places.
That's cool. That's cool. I'm not a believer that you have to necessarily go around your own country before you go abroad.
Right.
I think you can do both, but at the same time, travel has to start somewhere.
Exactly.
And there's often people feel like, oh, I can't go anywhere because I can't go to Paris. It's like, but you can go to one town over.
Right.
If, you know, on the bus.
Right.
Or, you know what I mean? Like, there's ways of getting a little bit of travel in your life.
And sometimes in your own city.
Yeah.
I mean,
the Indian restaurant. A Mexican restaurant. A museum that you had to
I'm originally
to.
From Cleveland, and Cleveland has the Music Hall of Fame.
Oh, wow, okay.
I can honestly say I haven't been yet.
Okay.
I don't live there anymore, but it was not there. But there's some people in Cleveland that says that's a joy in itself, just to go downtown to see that.
Nice.
Right. And I have some friends in Atlanta that did a staycation, and they just went to everything in Atlanta, and Atlanta has so much history in itself.
It's true. It's
and
true.
So you can actually just visit and enjoy your own city.
All right.
Or a city close to you if you're not in a big city.
So, right. Well, shout out to the A.
Yeah.
And to all the other cities around you that you definitely should be open to exploring a little bit more, just to get into a traveling mood.
Right.
So, yeah, very nice. And then I happen to know personally that you enjoy Paris, correct?
Yes, I do. I enjoy Paris. I enjoy Paris because I, in elementary and high school, I actually took French.
So okay.
I took French for 7 years.
All right.
But my first French teacher was a black Parisian.
Okay.
And she taught us conversational French. And I've always had a fascination of it. So when I became older and actually had some funds, I started going to Paris. And I like to be a Parisian when I go there.
All right.
So I will go, and I may stay in a hotel or I may rent an apartment, but I want to blend in. So
okay.
I have learned how to dress as a Parisian, and I get by.
All black with a beret and a scarf.
Well, no beret, but definitely with a scarf.
Okay.
I definitely do a scarf. All right. You know, the scarf and the black ballet slippers. Okay. Yes. And I take the metro and I go to the corner bistro or the corner bakery and get my bread and take it back.
Okay.
So, yeah, I like Paris.
All right. And you're French?
It's passable.
It's passable. Okay. Je ne parle pas français.
Un peu.
No, all I know how to say is like, pardon, parlez-vous anglais? No, oh la la. So like, do you speak English? No? Oh, crap.
So, yeah. Well, the things you really have to know is, where's the bathroom?
Yes.
And can I have my check? L'addition, please, s'il vous plaît.
Comme ça? What?
To, well, and...
How do you say it?
L'addition, s'il vous plaît.
L'addition.
L'addition.
L'addition, s'il vous plaît.
Right. The L follows into, like, addition.
Okay.
Addition.
L'addition, s'il vous plaît.
Oui.
So how do you say, she'll take the check?
They just put it on the table, and they let you grab
for
it.
Okay, pour vous.
That's the one thing about Paris and eating, that meals are social there.
Okay.
So you can sit at a cafe for hours. And unless you actually request a check from the waiter or waitress,
they won't bring it.
Right, they leave you alone.
Right.
So a lot of people think they're being rude or slow, but that's just their custom.
Okay. Well,
yes.
that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
As long as you know that you need to ask.
Well, you need to ask for it.
Okay. And so what is your favorite French food?
French food.
Yeah. French fries.
Ha, ha, ha.
Quack,
French, any food.
Okay.
Actually, okay, if I had a passion for it, it would probably be, I like duck. Coq au vin.
What's that have in it?
Oh, coq au vin. It's actually a kind of stewed chicken.
Okay.
But the chicken has been stewed for like 8 to 10 hours. With a type of sauce, a kind of wine sauce.
Nice.
But it has to be made just right.
Okay. And I'm sure they do it just right in France, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Magnifique.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I found some good coq au vin a few other places.
Okay, cool.
Yes, yes.
Nice. Well, I'm glad that you've got your, let's say, second home, if you will.
Okay.
Okay. So, and that's important. When you start traveling, you'll start feeling like, hey, I love this place so much, I may not need to go anywhere else.
Right.
Sometimes.
Right.
Cool. Well, we'll be right back right after this. Audience, please stay tuned.
Brand ambassadors and business owners, the NEN has two questions for you. Are you ready to captivate thousands of new prospective clients, and are you ready to take your brand to the next level? If the answer is yes to both, then the Industry Entertainment Network is here to help you get there. Advertise with the NEN to give your brand the exposure that it needs on a national and international level to a diverse audience of substance and value. The Industry Entertainment Network is a global entertainment platform that highlights the positive aspects of music, film, culinary, lifestyle, and the beauty industries, with an emphasis on social and cultural issues. Our network features several evolutionary and elevating talk shows that are sure to appeal to your target audience at a fraction of the paid advertisement cost. Increase your business's and brand's value by taking advantage of our customer reach today. Contact us via email at www.welcometotheindustry@gmail.com or by calling 904-469-7511.
Have you ever wanted to just get away? To lie on a beach in Rio de Janeiro? To party at the freshest night spots in Paris? To explore the markets of Istanbul or the breathtaking landscapes of Cape Town? Well, every week you can find out how with the Fly Brother Radio Show. Hi, I'm Ernest White II, international explorer, storyteller, and host of the Fly Brother Radio Show, your audio getaway to exotic destinations, useful travel tips, engaging interviews, culture, history, music, and global exploration. I've lived in 5 countries and traveled to over 50 around the world, learning languages and customs, experiencing cultures and connections, and I'd like to share a bit of all of that with you. So tune in every week, Saturdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, when we'll talk all about how to turn your life into a fly life. The Fly Brother Radio Show. Get lifted, only on the Industry Entertainment Network.
Welcome back to the Fly Brother Radio Show. This is Ernest White II talking to Dr. Yvette McQueen. Dr. McQueen, medicine woman, international medicine woman, global medicine woman. Thank you very much for coming on the show
today. Yes, it's a pleasure.
So we were talking earlier about Paris and some of the places that you've been. How did you get into being a traveling doctor in the first place? Or maybe even start at the very beginning. What drew you to medicine in the first place?
What drew me to medicine as a young child, I was some people like to call a nerd, but I love reading. And we had I'm about to date myself, we had the full set of World Book Encyclopedias.
Yes, I had World Book Encyclopedias too, because I think Britannica was a little bit more expensive.
Yes, exactly. So I would sit in the corner of my room and go through the books, particularly the shiny pages, and I would look at the different countries history and also science I enjoyed. So in 10th grade, when I took biology, I loved it. And when we cut up a cat, sorry, animal lovers.
It's how you learn how to cut up human bodies to fix them, correct?
I enjoyed it. And my partner and I actually decided to sew it back up.
Okay.
Which was unusual.
So it was like a Tim Burton animal.
Okay. So at that point, I decided to, I wanted to go to medical school.
Okay.
And from then on, I also became a paramedic while an undergraduate. And that gave me my love for emergency medicine. I like the diversity it gives, the spontaneity. And I don't have to deal with the office or the overhead or kind of the routine.
Right. And so where did you go to undergrad?
I went to Central Michigan University in Mount Pleasant, Michigan. And then I took a few years off. I didn't go straight to medical school, so I'm the non-traditional student.
Okay.
Where I actually was teaching college or a local college in Cleveland. And I also did some research at a college there. And then I went to medical school in Toledo, Ohio.
Okay. So I think it's important, like you said, to mention that you are non-traditional, meaning it's never too late.
No, it's never too late. And everyone thinks that if you go to medical school, you have to be like biology or chemistry, where it's not. Most medical schools now want well-rounded people. Mm. And it's okay if you
majored in philosophy.
Yes. Or I have friends that majored in history or political science or anthropology. I have friends that, once again, took time off, and they were like an engineer, or I even had a friend that was a flight attendant.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Right. She was a flight attendant in between, and then said, okay, it's time to go to medical school.
Well, as long as you pass those boards, I guess that's all that matters.
That's it. You have to take the entrance exam, which is called the MCAT, and just go through medical school.
Okay.
And, you know, some people stumble. May not pass all the tests, but if you complete medical school, P equals MD.
P equals MD.
Yeah, pass. Because most of our scores are pass-fail. They're not graded, like a 90 or you got an A or a B. It's a one cutoff point. Either you pass or you fail. And we say P equals MD.
So you're saying that there are many C-level doctors out there.
C-level.
Meaning you got a 72.
But that's just their score comparing to their other peers. It could easily have been a score if they did it against you.
Right, or maybe if they paid attention in class and didn't
get drunk
the night before.
Or had a bad day.
Okay.
And got some bad news that morning but still decided to take the test. It's life. Things happen in life.
That's true. I guess
things
I just,
happen in
having
life.
Been a teacher.
Right.
I don't know. Sometimes I just wonder about my students who say they want to go to medical school, looking at their grades prior to the pass-fail.
It's the passion. Okay. It's a passion. Medicine is about, yes, you do have to learn the material, but with medicine, it's always changing.
Okay.
They used to always like to say medicine is an art. So even though the science base, you know, there's only 206 bones in the body and there always will be.
Okay.
But there's different ways of applying medicine.
So that's where the art comes in.
So if you have a certain disease and you treat it one way and another doctor treated another way, but it still has the good outcome.
What difference does it make? You're healed.
There you go.
Okay. All right. There I you accept go. That.
There you
Not
go.
Not that I had a choice in accepting it. But
medicine is about the passion, and it's about learning. And the only difference between medical school, I guess, and undergrad is the amount of material you get.
Okay.
So as long as you have the concept of intaking the material. So what someone learns in a semester in undergraduate, we probably learn in a week. So it's about basically it is study skills and organization.
Okay, study skills and organization. Well, I will say that I have friends who are doctors, and once I started seeing like just the day-to-day grind when it comes to both the work and staying current with technological advances and with, you know, just new understandings of the body, like my hat gets tipped, because you guys, I don't know, you're impressive. The fact that you're trying to be, you know, you're trying to keep up with everything, have some semblance of a personal life, and heal people.
Right. First of all, the doctor must be well. So we do promote self-care within the doctor and wellness. So,
right.
And like I said, medicine is a passion. So are there those that's fallen out of medicine? Yes. Because, you know, the things that's going on between reimbursement and the whole political scene, some people do want to leave medicine. But it's your love for people that keeps you here.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So then how did that transfer into travel?
That transferred into travel because I did come here and I had the typical job of where I, with emergency medicine, we work shifts.
Okay.
So I would work maybe an 8-hour shift or a 10-hour shift, and I would go to just one hospital, work there, have my days lined out. But I wanted, like I said, a little bit more diversity and more flexible with my schedule. So I actually am an independent contractor, and I work as what we call a local tenants. That means a temporary position.
A local tenants.
Locum tenants.
Oh, like it's Latin.
Yes, Latin.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So
locum tenants.
So I fill in positions for people. So I work for different agencies, and they may call me up and say, I have someone at this hospital that's going on maternity leave for the next 2 months.
Okay.
Can you fill in her shifts? Mm. And that's what I do. So I'll fly in, I'll work 3 or 4 days and fly home, take a week off, and do it again 2 or 3 days.
Okay. And then who covers the transportation?
The agency I work for.
Okay.
Or the agency or the hospital. It depends.
But you don't have to come out of your own pocket for that.
No, they cover everything for me.
Okay.
Because I am actually doing a service for them.
Right.
Yes.
And have you ended up going to really remote places like in the middle of Alaska?
Well, in the United States, you have to have a medical license for each individual state.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes. So we don't get to cross over state lines. And so I don't have a license in Alaska, so no, I have not gone there. But I have gone to some remote places, particularly in the Midwest, in the rural areas, Missouri, Indiana, some of the more rural areas away, like maybe 2 or 3 hours from the big cities.
Okay.
Because
that's where they need help.
And it's hard to get doctors in those areas because most young doctors want to be in the big cities where things are happening.
Right.
Right.
Understandable.
Right.
So most young people want to be in where things are happening, right?
Right.
And so then, is there a way to grandfather in for different states? Like if you kind of have a region where the education is I guess, quote unquote, the same.
No.
Okay.
So no.
You have to.
Each state requires their own state license. So if I want to work in, right now I have 7 state licenses. So
you had to study and pass the board.
Well, okay. I see what you're saying. Once I've had one license, the other states will give me reciprocity.
Okay.
So they say, so you have a Florida license. Okay. So if you want a Kentucky license, fill out this application and pay us the money and we'll give you a license.
Okay. Right. I said grandfathered in as if you had had it before someplace and something changed on the ground, but actually it's reciprocity
of
the term.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Okay. Yes.
So that makes it easier then.
That makes it easier.
To open up your the places that you can go to.
Yes. Yes. It's just a process. Some states it may take 6 to 8 weeks. Some states California takes 6 months.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The more populous states is more detailed application.
Right.
And it takes you a little longer.
Okay. Yeah. So then now that we know that you're all over the place looking after us, making sure that we're safe and sound and healthy on the road.
And on the plane.
And on the plane and on the boat and everywhere else on the trail. What are ways that we as travelers can stay healthy while we're traveling and not have to see you?
That's a great question.
Other than just to hang out.
Thank you. That's a great question. So I have probably say 7 tips I can give you real quick.
Okay.
One is hydration. People forget to drink water.
Okay, right.
So hydration, the plane definitely could dry you out. And you're doing other things, you think about alcohol, actually, and I'm throwing alcohol in because people think alcohol is depressant, but it actually can also be a stimulant.
Right.
But alcohol causes severe dehydration. Okay. So if you're on vacation, which some people do, and you drink more than you normally do on a day-to-day, you will be dehydrated.
Okay.
But hydration will help with many things, like it helps to prevent blood clots. It helps you keep from being dehydrated. It helps with, it prevents jet lag if you stay hydrated. It helps you with, when I talk about blood clots, like if you're on a plane or in a car and you're like sitting for more than 2 to 3 hours, you need to get up and walk around.
Right.
And so if you're drinking water, guess what? You need to go to the bathroom.
Yes, you do.
So it helps you to remember to move
okay.
Another tip I tell people when they're flying is try to avoid gaseous food.
Okay, like beans?
Like beans, broccoli,
but
cabbage.
They're good for your heart, though.
They are, but 24 to 48 hours before you fly, you think when you're in pressurized cabin, it actually makes...
Bloat.
Right, you bloat. I was going to say expand, but you bloat.
Yes.
Yes. So, and you get a little discomfort. So, particularly avoid that before you fly.
And I would assume that would also apply to, like, heavily spiced foods as well.
Well, yes. Heavily spiced foods will actually cause you a lot of heartburn.
Okay.
And as you sleep, that actually will actually cause you to have broken sleep, make you tired.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Because I love curry. I love jerk. I love...
Just try to not do it right before you
chilies.
Fly.
Okay.
Right before you fly. I tell people, number 3, remember to pack prescription medications.
Mm.
Now, in the United States, that shouldn't be too much of a problem because if you forget your medications and you're at one of the chain pharmacies,
Walgreens, CVS,
you usually can call and say, hey, I'm in another city. I forgot my medicines, and they probably give you like 3 or 4 day supply.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're internationally, you need to take your prescription medicines because it's not guaranteed you'll find it.
True.
Also, you need to take it in their original bottles.
Okay.
With your name on it. Because when you re-enter, when you're entering one country and you go through customs, they'll want to see that as your medicine, but also re-entering the United States, they prefer you have medicine in the original bottles, not the pill, a little pill trays, but they need to be in the original bottles with your name on it.
Oh, wow. Okay. I didn't know that.
Yes. Number 4, pack over-the-counter medications, things you need for like headaches and tummy aches, and if you have allergies, take your allergy medicine, Benadryl, Claritin, things like that, but because it's not guaranteed, you will, one, find that brand, or...
True.
Say we were in Italy and someone gave one of our travel mates some medicine. Oh, this will help you with your stomach. And we couldn't read it.
Right. Because the language was not the language that you can read.
It wasn't English. Yes. It was like, do you really want to take that? You don't know what that is?
Mm.
Right. So, yeah. So if you know you need the overcome, particularly if you're traveling with children.
Yes.
You know, you're traveling with children, you need to take those. Children likes to get fever at the drop of the hat.
Okay.
So, yes, take your ibuprofen and Tylenol along with you. Remember to take those.
Nice.
So, yes.
And if you forget them, learn how to say ibuprofen in many languages. Ibuprofen.
Ibuprofen and, yeah. and acetaminophen.
Yes.
Acetaminophen. Yes. Actually, the weird thing about in some countries, prescriptions are given out by the pharmacy. Not the doctor, you know.
Oh, wow.
So I had a cold one time. I was in France, and I had a cold. And they said, go to the pharmacy. And I went to the pharmacist, so you can't just get cough medicine. You just can't pick it up. I had to actually go to the pharmacist and talk. It's like, I have a cough, phlegm. Mm-hmm. They were like, oh, okay. And they described the medicine, and that's how I was given it.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
So meaning different countries have different procedures.
And exactly.
It's true. Sometimes you'll go into what looks like a drugstore.
Right.
And they'll have all the little odds and ends, you know, tissue and whatever, tweezers, but they won't have medicine.
Exactly.
Because you have to go to a specific, like, pharmacy
right.
for that.
Right.
So, yeah.
They'll say pharmacy.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. Right. So that's something that when you don't travel a lot, you're surprised with when you go to a place and you're like, well, I need some headache medicine.
Exactly.
But it's only at the pharmacy that they sell these things.
Yes.
Which may be closed.
Yes. definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely limited hours.
Right.
Yes.
The convenience store may be 24 hours,
right.
but not the pharmacy.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. So tip number five. I'm on five now. Sunscreen. Remember
okay.
to wear your sunscreen.
Everybody.
Everybody. Even people of color. You can get sunburn. Okay. And you can get skin.
True.
And you can get skin cancer.
That too.
And that's what is really protection because there's two different rays, UVA and UVB. Make sure your sunglasses are covered for the broad spectrum of both rays.
Mm-hmm.
Remember sunscreen on like the top of your head, your ears, the
yes.
back of your neck, your face. Use lip balm
mm-hmm.
that has SPF. So with normal sunscreen, we like SPF 30 or above.
Oh, wow.
Right.
No
and
15, 5.
No, 30 and above.
Okay.
It should be 30 and above. And you should apply it 15 to 20 minutes before you expose yourself. So don't just slather on and run outside because the skin needs to absorb it, actually
okay.
absorb it to be able to protect you. And after you get out the water, you have to reapply, and you should reapply every 2 hours if you're sitting out. But you shouldn't be out in the sun more than 2 hours anyway at a time.
Okay.
You need some rest from the sun, come out of the sun, rehydrate.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that. Even on cloudy days, particularly if you're in areas near the equator.
Yes, okay. Yeah. High altitude places
yes.
too, like Bogota.
Yes.
Which is cloudy, but it's equatorial.
Yes.
And when the sun does come out, you'll
yes.
burn instantaneously.
You still can burn.
Yeah.
You still can burn. Because sunburns is actually a real burn. It's called
mm-hmm.
a first degree burn.
Mm-hmm.
And if you start to blister, that then becomes a second degree burn. So it's actually it's a preventable,
yes.
a preventable accident.
It's preventable. Like most
yes.
accidents.
So tip number six is to keep your immune system up. And that means get enough sleep. Don't try to, I know a lot of us, we don't pack until the last minute and they stay up all the night
mm-hmm.
before. But get rest, hydration. I've said that several times. You can take vitamins to keep your immune system up. So that will help you if your immune system is up and flourishing, then you're less susceptible to pick up those small viruses.
Okay.
And then seven, things to carry with you. Okay, things to carry with you are your wipes, your sanitizer, things like that. I will tell you, when you get on those planes...
Wipe down that tray.
Wipe down that tray because even though I've talked to a lot of flight attendants, like, how often is this plane actually fully sanitized? They're like, oh, no.
Never.
No.
Right.
Sometimes at night when they pull it in or if they have to take it in, it's thoroughly clean.
Okay.
But it's in between, they're picking up the small things. So wipe down that tray. The seat in front of you, that pocket, stop storing things.
Right.
Okay?
Including gum.
Because people will people put gum and their sneeze and put their little toilet. And then you turn around and put your book and computer in it. And then you're touching it.
Mm.
And then you touch your face. Okay, so that's how viruses are transmitted, and that's how you can get ill.
Wow.
Yep. So, sorry.
Okay, that's goodness.
So that's a, so that's some quick tips.
Okay, sounds like you need a spacesuit to go on an airplane.
No, it's just being careful. It's just being careful.
True.
Just being careful.
So how can people find you online and in social media to find out more about traveling safely?
Okay. I am Yvette McQueen, M.D. That's Yvette McQueen, M.D.
Okay.
So YvetteMcQueenMD.com.
Nice.
Or you can find me on all the social medias, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Google Plus, and YouTube, where I actually have some instructional videos, Yvette McQueen, M.D.
Excellent. Dr. McQueen, thank you very, very much for coming on the show today. It's been enlightening and entertaining.
It's great.
So,
let's do it again.
All right. Cool. Indeed. Soon. Guys, please stay tuned to the Fly Brother Radio Show. We'll be right back right after this brief break.
On the break of day, when the sky is gray, and it seems to come down on my parade. Darkness is in view. I need a glimpse of you. My world fills with joy. Thought of you, gently you appear. I can feel you near. Oh. Skylight, something like the moonlight shining low, shining bright on a cloudy day. Sky high, moving like a sunrise, kinda feel kinda nice, like the top of the day. Skylight, something like the moonlight, shining low, shining bright, on a cloudy day. Sky high, moving like a sunrise, kinda feel kinda nice, like the top of the day. Never seem to find a sound peace of mind till you come around and say, baby, it's okay. Can we take the time to make energy entwine a web of love inside our heart and souls combine? Yeah. Then everything is clear. Something's disappear. shining bright on a cloudy day.
Welcome back to the Fly Brother Radio Show. As Dr. McQueen mentioned before the break, you can find out more about health and travel at YvetteMcQueen.com and on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Google+, and YouTube at YvetteMcQueenMD. If you missed any portion of the Fly Brother Radio Show or would like to experience this session again, please log on to www.blogtalkradio.com/welcometotheindustry, that's industry without the I, to listen to the on-demand version of the show. You can also email me directly at ernest@flybrother.net, and please like the Fly Brother Facebook page at facebook.com/flybrotherfly. Please share any questions, content, or stories that help me help others thrive. Listeners, please join us here next and every Saturday from 10 to 11 Eastern, that's GMT-4 for our international listeners. Thank you everyone for listening to Fly Brother here on the Industry Entertainment Network. Have a phenomenal weekend and an amazing week. Ciao, ciao.